Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. All right. How about that? Here we are. Pop up channel 4 real quick. They're doing their weather report. Let's see what they're saying.
We're all gonna die!
Whoa!
Run!
Whoa! Wow, that was a little dramatic for the weather report, don't you think? Well, maybe a little. Winter is coming and everyone is talking about it. If you're afraid that the snow is going to give you a lot of problems, you shouldn't worry about it all that much tonight. I'm more worried about tomorrow when the temperatures are going to get low enough. What is it going to feel after the wind chill, closer to 20 degrees? This is what I'm afraid. I'm afraid everyone gets comfortable wearing their light jackets because it's been, you know, overnights have been chilly, but during the day it hasn't been too bad. You can put on a hoodie for the most part as long as you're not spending a lot of time outside. And then what happens? You get a day where it's 20, it feels like 20 degrees, and you hop over to the college campuses, and there's still that one dude walking around in shorts. What are you doing? You got cargo shorts on, and you're walking around, and it feels like 20 below. There's always that one guy, isn't there? I'm not that guy. I'm always a comfortable guy. I'm comfortable, but I'm not like that. I never understood how anyone could get away with that. Doesn't their mom look at them and say, honey, you know better. Bundle up, you're going to get cold. That's what I would expect mama to say. But if you go to KMOX.com, and if you look at some of the graphs, you can actually see AccuWeather's Dean DeVore. He posted a video for us here at KMOX. He is so professional, I'll tell you what. Dean DeVore's with AccuWeather. They're based out of Pennsylvania, but he does a video for us here at KMOX. What does he got right in the background? A big old KMOX sign. He puts it up right on the wall. That is a pro. No one does that. So he is predicting we're going to have a pretty mild winter. Said most of Missouri and the bottom two-thirds of Illinois are expected to have an average winter temperature-wise. DeVore feels December might be slightly warmer than normal. January, right at average. February, a bit colder than normal. I normally take reports like this. Now that I put that insulation in the attic and I spent all that time up there, you know, all those 6 or 7 or 8 hours or whatever. I act like I was there for a week straight, like I was camping. But now that I have the insulation, I take reports like this and I say, honey, this is why we do it. This is why we do it. And then she rolls her eyes and says, ugh, enough with the insulation talk. And the big question as part of this AccuWeather report that's on KMOX.com is if St. Louis will be below average in terms of snowfall. He is calling for 12 to 16 inches of snowfall, which is way below average if you look back even a decade ago. And said even that would be higher than the past three winters. But if you go back, you know, past 2010 or so, you're starting to see even more snow through this area. Man, I came at the right time. There were a few winters I lived in Wisconsin, and that was the most miserable experience in my life when it comes to weather. The worst. Even though I lived in central Michigan for a while, and there's a lot of snow that hits Michigan, the farther north you go, the snow banks start to look like skyscrapers. It's just amazing how they have to plow their way through and basically you have walls of snow on each side of the road. When I was in Wisconsin, that lake effect that was coming through, the one winter I was there, I just remember never being more miserable in my life. I had a Jeep at the time. I had to plug it in the block heater in order to start the car in the morning. The roads were terrible, never plowed. Every time I had to go into work, This is the terrible experience I had at this one radio station I worked at. They had two buildings, one for the broadcasting and one for the engineering. The engineering was separate, and you had to walk to the engineer building in order to switch the satellites over because apparently their engineers couldn't figure out how to do this automatically. You had to manually walk over and do it. It was like that show Lost, where there was some dude in a dungeon that had to press the special numbers in order and then press the button in order to make sure the island doesn't explode. You know, it's like every 48 hours, you have to punch in this specific code and then it resets the clock. It was like that going over to the engineering building, except when it snowed and they would not plow the parking lot. They wouldn't put a path to the place. So when you had to go out there and switch these things over, it was almost like you had to climb a mountain and down. I would get snow up to my waist trying to get through to the engineering building. And it was like that all winter. No courtesy whatsoever. It's terrible. So I'm glad we don't have to experience that here. Remember last year we had just a little bit of snow on Christmas morning? And that was about it. I mean, we really didn't have a lot of snow last year. That was great. If we can have another one of those, I'll be fine. This hour, I want to talk a little bit about the Jim Acosta thing. And joining us will be Dan Shelley. He's from the Radio Television Digital News Association. They're demanding to restore Jim Acosta's credentials. I wanted to talk to him about that. I think the White House was justified to pull the credentials. So I'll get his take, and we have a couple back and forth on that one. Robert Mueller getting ready to draft his final report, which is good. It's about time. I mean, let's wrap this up. Let's do it. But some people feel it's premature. It's rushed because some of the changes that are going on. And I also want to tell you that I am very excited because something very special is about to happen in 2 weeks. Oh, and my kid got his flu shot today. I asked him to review his flu shot. You know, some people go online, they review restaurants, they'll review store experiences or whatever it is. I asked him to review what it was like getting a flu shot. His answer, I'll tell you that coming up next. We got a fun night here tonight on Overnight America. It's our what we call our Friday, which means we're a little bit more relaxed, so we can open the phone lines for you too at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX and KMOX.com.
Here we are, so close to the weekend. You know, these songs are all fun and games. Like, you can listen to this, but really, aren't we in it for Rebecca Black in the end? Yeah, kind of. We're going to talk a little more about Jim Acosta, and we're going to welcome on a guest who is from Missouri. He's the executive director at the Radio Television Digital News Association, demanding the credentials be restored for Jim Acosta, which we'll get to in a moment, too, a little bit later this hour. I guess Marcia's calling in about that. Hey, Marcia, what's going on?
Well, I think Jim Acosta was rude and impertinent to our president. And like it or not, he is our president. And I think his credentials should have been revoked, and I think they should stay revoked because the president did not like the way he spoke, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I bring this up in the interview. I think revoking the credentials were justified. But I also feel like if Acosta were to apologize to that intern, he should get him restored. I feel like as long as he admits he may have went a little too far when it comes to etiquette and courtesy, when it comes to the staffers in that room, that would satisfy me enough to allow him to get it back. But I think it's nuts that CNN and all of these other journalists are going out there saying it was the reason it was revoked was because of the questions he asked. No, I mean, he's been asking these questions just like this for the last year and a half. Nothing's happened. So I don't think it just started now.
And he's not going to apologize.
No, he's not. He's getting too much publicity out of this. I think the New York Post said that he's turning himself into a martyr, which, yeah, I think that's how he sees himself. All right, Marcia, wait till you hear this interview. That's coming up in about 15 minutes from now.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. You know, my kid got a flu shot today. Normally, he would get the flu shot earlier, but they were out, so we had to come back and get it. And I asked him to review the flu shot. What was the experience like? Everyone wants to review everything. You go to a restaurant, and if it was good, they want you to review it. If it was bad, they don't want you to review, but, you know, still you feel like you want to go do it. oh, I want to go tell everyone this place was, or you know, any place you go to that has some sort of service element. You go to a shop, oh, I can't wait to tell people they ripped me off. Well, I asked my four-year-old, hey, tell me, what's your review of that flu shot you just got? You know what he said? Too pokey. It was too pokey. That might be the best review of any shot at a doctor's office I have ever heard. Oh, Big Al calling in. Lake St. Louis, what's going on?
I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you we'd win by 7 points.
Oh, yeah. You did. You said it would be a big win, and no one was really saying it when you were looking at the polls.
Well, I have vision, and everybody else has bifocals. All right? And believe it or not, Rex, I carried the microphone back in the 70s in Lindenwood College, interviewing the likes of O.J. Simpson, Bobby Hall, sat in the press box with Dan Kelly. I know press, okay? Even with my Panasonic recorder. Mm-hmm. And Acosta is wrong.
Yeah.
You cannot show. Larry Connor says it the best. He presented the news, and you never knew how Larry came down until he got his own show.
Yeah.
And when CNN sends these people up there to provoke him, well, just let's know this, Costa. You're lucky I'm not the president. I would have B-slapped you like no tomorrow, okay?
Wow.
So I'm cleaning it up for Mr. Hyland. That's a ghost, by the way, creeping around in there. And you and Raby, all these foreigners invaded the Mighty Mock. So he's turning light switches off and everything, but he loves you. But
okay.
I just want to say, you know what? We should have the you can have the House. We'll take the Senate. And Ginsburg, you need to go. I love you, girl, but you need to give it a break. And we'll put another one or two on the court and set this country up right.
All right, Big Al.
Vote red, vote often. Love you.
Thanks, Big Al. Wow, he's not messing. He's not messing around. Some people are saying maybe we should tone things down a little bit in these press conferences. The president had one yesterday. He was a little aggressive. And I will say that Big Al calls in and says, wasn't aggressive enough. I would have gone out there. Yeah, you're going to get this. And I may surprise you to say, and I do believe that Jim Acosta's credentials were justified to be revoked. I do not like the way he handled himself. I will also say that the president was definitely not being courteous. He wasn't being kind. He wasn't being polite. He was just being him. Okay? That's par for the course. And I also think that the back and forth that those two have had over the course of the past year and a half or almost 2 years, the way you look at it, with some of these press conferences starting before he took office, I think there isn't really, you know, I just don't think that this is a one-time incident that you can't take into consideration all of these other things that have led up to it. But I think it was the direct actions of Acosta after he refused to give up the microphone that put this into perspective for me to say that he, yes, deserves to get his credentials pulled. I will say that I'm disappointed with the White House and Sarah Huckabee Sanders for sharing that doctored video. It's pretty clear that the video was manipulated, sped up, the speed was manipulated. It doesn't change his actions. Like, he still did the same motions. He still did the same, you know, if he could have stiff-armed that woman, he would have, but he didn't. And it wasn't a karate chop. I mean, you don't have to take this video and manipulate it in order to justify removing his credentials, but they did. So we're going to talk about that too. And you really didn't have to. Why? Why would you if you didn't have to? We're going to get all of that out with Dan Shelley from the Radio Television Digital News Association coming up, about 10 minutes from now. Here's something else that came out. Robert Mueller reportedly begun drafting his final report, and everyone's going crazy because they think, oh, he's being forced to put it out. Well, you know what? It was about time. We got to get this thing moving. If the report comes out and you determine that there's more that needs to be questioned, that's one thing. But if what we're doing is basically expanding the search party out further and further and further, then no, that you've actually exceeded the scope of what this original report should encompass. You could continue to search until you find something, or you could find nothing and we got to move on and let's stop with this. So that's what this report will determine. I think if Robert Mueller puts this report out and it said, well, there was nothing illegal that happened, there's really no grounds the determination of after looking at this report is there's no grounds for impeachment. You got to move on. And I've been saying this from the very beginning, and I've challenged other people that are looking at Robert Mueller as their savior because they hate Trump so much. I've challenged everyone that's called in and criticized President Trump. If this Mueller report comes out and you're out there thinking that he was in Russia's pocket and you're one of those jokers that feel like, you know, you're Stephen Colbert, who goes out there and makes jokes, profane jokes and national television. If you're one of those people and this report comes out and they find there is nothing, number one, I think you owe everyone an apology. Good luck with that. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow. But number two, you got to accept the report. And part of this challenge was if the report comes out and we get a chance to see it and they do believe he inappropriately and directly worked with Russia in a manner that could be prosecuted and they look at it as a possible impeachable offense, then I'm changing my perspective. And I'm going to go and say that impeachment definitely is not off the table. But if this report, and I honestly, truly believe this report's going to come out and exonerate Donald Trump, period. I don't think there's going to be anything that they're going to be able to take any conclusion from this report and say, yes, this is impeachable. There's no indication that's going to be it. The only indication are the people that are out there that are having this fantasy. This is a giant fantasy for them. Like, this is going to be the thing to correct their loser in Hillary Clinton, but it's not. I think there's just too many people that have a hard time accepting Hillary Clinton lost. There has to be another reason. They have to point the blame somewhere else. There is no way people would ever want to have Donald Trump unless he did something illegal. Now, we got to find a way to move past this. And that's why this report coming out will be important these last 2 years of his presidency. Because when you have a House that's Democrat and a Senate that's Republican, and you have a Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying we need bipartisanship, well, if we can put this report to rest and look at it and say there was nothing inappropriate that Donald Trump has done, and still, all these people yelling about these indictments that have happened, none of which has been related to collusion. And I'm using that blanket term, collusion, even though you might technically not use it in this case. But you know what I mean by it. There have been people that have been indicted for tax issues. There have been people indicted for money laundering. But there hasn't been anything with the Russians, unless there's some bombshell in here. In an administration where somehow everything gets leaked and there still hasn't been anything, this, I think your odds of finding anything impeachable are extremely low at this point. So we got to find a way to move on. We do. And if you actually want to talk about bipartisanship, if you want to listen to Nancy Pelosi and something like this, it starts by putting this report out, and it starts with the Democrats accepting that they're not going to remove this man from office before his four-year term. And you know what? He might even get another four after that. Odds are pretty good of that. Odds of that, let's say odds of people accepting bipartisanship and working together, I still think low, 10%, if that. But this is what you need to happen before you get to that point, I believe at least. So hopefully this report comes out and hopefully we'll get to see it. Honestly, I think the American people deserve to see it. Hopefully they don't keep it secret. Hopefully they declassify most of it. Obviously, there's going to be some things they may not be able to put in there. They'll put the black bars over it. But we deserve to see it. And I hope, it is my hope, that the people that have lived this fantasy that Donald Trump and the Russians are one and the same will finally put that to rest, move on, and actually consider they were wrong. I just hope. But we got to wait till we see the report. White House banning Jim Acosta. Dan Shelley from the National Radio Television Digital News Association. I want to talk to him about that and the stance his organization is taking next on Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Joining us now is the executive director for the RTDNA. Dan Shelley, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Ryan.
Yeah, the Radio Television Digital News Association. You were working in Springfield, so you got to be very familiar with Missouri politics and everything that goes on around here.
Oh, and always a lifelong fan of KMOX.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, how long did you work over? Was it KTTS?
It was. I worked there for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally worked my way to New York and now to RTDNA.
Where is that located out of?
Our headquarters is in Washington, D.C., the National Press Building.
Not bad. Okay. And today you're talking about the whole Jim Acosta thing, and it's amazing how fast time goes by. It seems like this happened just yesterday, but it did, but it feels like it also was a month ago. It seems like everything just flies by. I wanted to get your take on this because when I saw the reaction that your organization had to the Trump administration and revoking the pass of Jim Acosta, you had a couple of comments on that and how you think it relates to media and reporters in general. And for full disclosure, I think the White House was justified to revoke Jim Acosta's press pass. So I wanted to have a conversation about that, too.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I respectfully disagree with that, as I'm sure you gleaned from the statement we issued shortly after his hard pass, yeah. which is what it's called, mm-hmm. Which is actually issued by the Secret Service. And the reason members of the White House press corps get these hard passes is it allows them easier access into and out of the White House, into and out of areas where the president is. And it's really a courtesy and a convenience that the White House has historically afforded members of the White House Correspondents Association. Mm-hmm. And what made this such a big deal from our perspective is that it seemed excessively punitive to us that the President of the United States would order his administration to revoke the hard pass of a journalist simply because he was upset with questions that the journalist had asked or the manner in which the journalist had asked those questions.
I guess I might have missed that. So did Donald Trump order it, or is this just mostly the White House press staff are the ones that orchestrated this?
I can't believe that this happened without the president's knowledge.
Okay.
I don't know who Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, mm-hmm. Probably physically ordered the revocation. But when Jim Acosta's hard pass was confiscated outside the White House grounds by a uniformed Secret Service officer, you know, the Secret Service works for the president. They don't work for Sarah Sanders,
right,
or even Bill Shine, the communications director.
When I watched that whole exchange, that was not a good day for President Trump when it came to his interacting with the media. And I don't think he's really ever been courteous to the media or polite in the way he handled this thing. The part that I have a problem with, and it wasn't the questions that Jim Acosta was asking, because he's asked a lot of questions in the past, and he's never had anything, you know, get to the point where the Secret Service is revoking a pass from him. I mean, he's been kind of like this for a while. I think it kind of crossed the line when he was ready to move on to the next question. They brought the intern over to share the mic, move the mic to someone else, and he kind of refused to give it up at that point. And I know, I really think they're over-exaggerating karate chops and things. I don't really see that. What I do see is if you're unwilling to yield your time and you want to kind of filibuster, I do see that as something of a concern that needs to be addressed.
That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that Jim Acosta has been harangued by this president and by members of this administration and by the president's supporters all across the country as a purveyor of fake news, as an enemy of the American people. And what you saw as hyper-aggression, I saw as responsible assertiveness. Could he have surrendered the microphone earlier? Could he have just shut up and sat down? Yes, no question about it. But was he so out of line that it prompted the revocation of his hard pass? I say unequivocally, no.
Hmm. I think the history between him and the White House, it does go back. And I think that they were just looking for maybe any reason to revoke something. And they haven't done it in the past based on the questions he was asking. You know, he's had some moments with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and, of course, with the president as well. And none of that ever rose to this level. So that's why I don't think it was the actual questions, the asking of the questions that caused this. I think that it may have been an overreaction on both sides, as in I don't think CNN had to play it off as being that this was because they hate our organization. It might be the case, but I also don't think the White House had to play it as if he was out there physically assaulting people. So I think, I don't know, can both sides be wrong in this?
That's a very interesting question, and one I have not yet been asked until this moment. And I'm going to have to think about it, to be honest with you, Ryan.
Yeah.
What I do know is that the video of the interaction between the intern and Jim Acosta that was distributed by the White House had been altered.
Yeah.
And it originally came from Alex Jones and InfoWars. It was not the actual video. I mean, I saw the actual moment. I've seen other versions of that video from mainstream media publications, such as Politico and others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that he does not assault that intern in any way.
I wouldn't call it an assault by any means, because when I watched it, I didn't know it came from InfoWars, that video. It's so weird when anyone with authority quotes InfoWars as if they have authority. I really don't like that. And I didn't know that's where the video originated from. Is that the one that you're talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders put up on Twitter?
Yeah, according to the Washington Post, that was an InfoWars video.
I wish they would just stay away from stuff like that. I feel like they should be smarter. They should know that they should just not use them for any circumstance. And it seemed like it was pretty quick. People were able to tell the video was somewhat doctored. But, I mean, I guess to be fair, CNN, I see the videos, too, when Jim Acosta went back to the studio to discuss this. They were cutting out the part with the tussle with the intern. So when Jim Acosta was in studio discussing what happened, they weren't using that part in their video coverage.
I didn't see CNN's coverage last night, unfortunately, so I can't argue that point, nor would I necessarily want to. The one thing I think that probably resonated most with me about this whole thing is it caused me to think back 35 years ago to when another Republican was president, Ronald Reagan, and that era's version of Jim Acosta, if you will, was Sam Donaldson of ABC News.
Mm.
And how many times did Sam Donaldson scream and shout belligerent questions? Many people thought they were belligerent questions to Ronald Reagan.
Hmm.
And what was President Reagan's reaction? He would cup his hand to his ear, smile as if he couldn't hear what Sam Donaldson was yelling, and then walk away. And never once did the Reagan administration contemplate revoking the hard pass of Sam Donaldson.
Yeah.
Contrast that to the era in which we live today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is much more aggressive the way the White House normally handles these certain topics. The fact that we're seeing altogether the press conference yesterday and just how some of the interaction went with the other reporters as well. So where do we go from here? We'll continue our conversation with Dan Shelley. He's the executive director for the Radio Television Digital News Association. Next on Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and joining us is the executive director for the Radio Television Digital News Association, Dan Shelley. I want to ask you this, too. The conduct that happens inside the White House. Normally, I think reporters kind of get the idea that, you know, you're allowed to ask a couple questions if you're called on, but when it's time to move on to someone else, they move on to someone else. Isn't that the kind of the code of conduct? Do you think there might have been, you know, even though it might not have been enough to revoke a press pass, do you think there was a little code of conduct that might have been pushed the line there with Jim Acosta?
Well, I think the line was moved by the president when he became so adversarial with members of the press and with his political enemies, and I don't think the two necessarily naturally go together.
Mm-hmm.
The press is there to seek and report the best obtainable version of the truth, to use a phrase Watergate journalist Carl Bernstein often uses. The press is not the president's friend. The press is not the president's enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The press is there to check, to be a check on the power of the presidency and the way the presidency is being executed. By the current occupant of the White House, by any occupant of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which brings up another point. RTDNA was as tough on Barack Obama when his administration was attempting to jail journalists for refusing to reveal confidential sources, mm-hmm. as we are on President Trump for his antics, particularly when he takes that unprecedented step of revoking Jim Acosta's hard pass.
Yeah, you know
what a chilling effect that has on journalists.
Yeah, I do appreciate that you have to make sure no lines are crossed when it comes to the White House and the way that they handle themselves with journalists. You know, I always wonder this too now, and I don't know if this is even on the table. If Jim Acosta said, not necessarily apologizing to the White House, but saying to the intern, I really did not mean to offend you in any way. This was, I think this was a big misunderstanding. I'm sorry if you felt like I was, put my hands in an inappropriate way. Is it possible for him to apologize perhaps, or at least for the misunderstanding with the intern, and still be able to continue to cover the White House?
Well, that question presumes that the intern was the source of the complaint with regard to how Jim Acosta interacted with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we can make that assumption. It may very well have been the case that the intern went to whoever she reports to, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or whoever, and complained about Jim Acosta's behavior toward her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also entirely possible in this White House and in some past White Houses that this whole kerfuffle mm-hmm. between the intern and Acosta was manufactured as an excuse for the president to exert his retribution and punishment on a journalist whose questions he doesn't like.
Hmm. You know, I guess I don't see it as a conspiracy. I don't think they sent the intern in just to try to get him to react to her. And I think it's just kind of what happens.
No. I'm not suggesting they said to the intern, go provoke a physical confrontation
right.
with Jim Acosta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying after the fact, it is possible, I don't know, that they manufactured, particularly as evidenced by the distribution of the White House press secretary of a doctored video,
mm-hmm.
They manufactured this confrontation, if you want to call it that, as an excuse for the president to finally exact his revenge on Jim Acosta.
I see. Yeah. When I saw it, I said, yeah, I think the confrontation was exaggerated by the White House. People were online immediately trying to call it a karate chop. I really didn't see it that way. But I also, I do think some conduct was questionable when it came to Jim Acosta and after the questions he asked and they're ready to move on to the next person. Yeah, but before we wrap up, and I don't want to go too far into this, you actually have some ideas of what you'd like to see happen next as executive director of the Radio Television Digital News Association. What do you think should happen, and how do you think we could resolve this conflict that we're seeing?
Well, we need to return to a more civil time in our discourse. We need to return to a time where things seemed normal by comparison to what we're going through today. And I am heartened by the fact that many journalism organizations, many companies that employ journalists, have doubled down on their attempt to verify facts information before they report it. They've doubled down on their investigative reporting units. They have you look at the Washington Post and you'll see as many as a dozen, 18 bylines on a story so that they can demonstrate that they have really reported the heck out of this story before they printed it or put it online.
Mm-hmm.
We need a return to civility from the political class. We need a return to transparency from journalists. And I think I'm very heartened by the fact that the number of young people enrolling in journalism schools in the United States of America today has increased exponentially from just a couple of years ago.
Hmm.
And that gives me a lot of optimism and a lot of faith that when whatever this is that we're living in now ends, we're going to see a resurgence in responsible journalism unlike any we've seen since right after Watergate. And the one we're going to see this time is going to be post-Watergate to the 10th power.
Hmm.
It's just going to be it's going to be a wonderful time. I'm really looking forward to it, and I wish it would happen tomorrow instead of several years from now.
Hmm. Dan Shelley, Executive Director of the Radio Television Digital News Association, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thank you.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Yeah, it's funny. I'm watching Fox 2 in some of their late-night news coverage here, and they're driving around, reporting on the snow, getting out, doing different things. All this snow. This is what I'm going to warn you. Tomorrow, if you think you could get away with just putting on a hoodie and walking out the door, if you think you could, I don't need the winter jacket. I don't want the winter jacket. Bring out the winter jacket tomorrow. You're going to need it. That's where we're at. There were some interesting thoughts here. Howard Kurtz is on Fox News. He was talking about the whole Jim Acosta thing. I thought he had some pretty good things to say about it.
I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a White House correspondent refuse to give up the mic and keep asking questions after having several such questions. CNN put out a statement saying the president's attacks on the press are dangerous and un-American, very strong language. And by taking the exceedingly rare step, Harris, of yanking Acosta's credentials, may have taken a step toward turning him into a bit of a martyr because others in the news business are now standing behind him. What's gotten lost is what he did.
Bit of a martyr. There's where the word goes. I think he's always looked at himself as a martyr. I think, what was the phrase I saw online? No one loves, or find someone that loves you as much as Jim Acosta loves himself. You know, all those people go online and they're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and they're always trying to find love. You got to find someone that loves you for you. Well, you got to find someone that loves you as much as Jim Acosta loves himself. And boy, wouldn't that be a get. Howard Kurtz still.
The White House also may have had a misstep in making this about whether or not when that young woman, a White House intern, came over to take the mic, Acosta was accused. He denies this, calls it a lie, of sort of laying hands on her. There was only incidental contact. The White House press office also put out a doctored version of the video by the conspiracy group InfoWars. It made Acosta look more aggressive than he actually was. And so this, of course, ratcheting up the already very difficult tensions between the White House and the press.
Yeah, they didn't need to use InfoWars. No one in the White House should ever reference InfoWars. But here we are. I think it was justified. I think his actions crossed the line. I think an apology would suffice to get it back. But CNN's not going to go down that route. I think CNN's going to enjoy playing off the, you know, we're the outlaws, we're the cool guys, you know, oh, we're like the bad boys of media. They're going to start playing hard rock whenever they're like Don Lemon will come onto his show, some hard rock guitar. Rah, nah, 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 we're the bad boys of news. Maybe that'll be their next branding. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll just continue to be the least watched cable news network. Coming up, I wanted to bring a few things up. Elementary school student in hot water over the shirt he wore to school. And I'm going to... It's an interesting shirt. I'm kind of on the fence and I'm leaning towards the school on this one. I'm leaning towards the school on this one. But I want to get your take on it coming up as well. 314-436-7900 if you want to text in. We'll take some of your calls coming up after the hour on Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.